going to read from the fifth chapter of Mark the two bits of story that came before and after what Steve read this morning. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So Jesus went with him. While he was still speaking with the woman that he had healed, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with them and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. And they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. In our hearing, our speaking, our living. This Sunday and next Sunday, the readings from Mark's Gospel are fairly long and seem to be in two parts, or there seem to be two stories being told in each of these readings. Originally, they could have been separate from one another, that they were brought together for reasons that we're not exactly sure of, but they could stand on their own. Or maybe they appear just exactly as they came about in the Gospel of Mark. Mark joins these stories together in rather clever ways. And they have similarities that seem to bind them together. Jesus was not supposed to be with the woman that Steve read about. Or rather, she was not supposed to be out in public. Because she was menstruating, she was untouchable. And technically, Jesus did not touch her, but she touched his robe. But still, she was not to be in public. She'd suffered 12 years of bleeding. And 12 years of pain and weakness and isolation. She took a huge risk appearing in public. The little girl was a little different. She didn't appear in public. She was at her home. And at the age of 12, that's one of those links, she had reached the age where she could be married. So this little girl was actually an adult woman. And given that everyone believed that the girl had died, Jesus, to their minds, committed the unthinkable because he touched the body of a corpse. Now, of course, that's not what really happened. She was really alive. So Jesus was seen as being ritually unclean, but not actually unclean. And that's a theme in Mark's gospel, that either Jesus was unclean or the disciples were unclean, that they were not following the rules. Another theme in Mark is the healing of women. Jesus broke those norms of his culture as well. And a third theme in Mark and in these stories is the courage and the faith it took for the woman, and for Jairus to seek out Jesus for healing. Jesus was becoming popular as he went back and forth in the boat across the Sea of Galilee. People on both sides began to recognize this was a man of great power. Jesus had the power to heal. I wish I had the power to heal. I have the power to irritate, but that's another thing entirely. A couple weeks ago, I hurt my back. And since then, I've heard of so many people who have talked about their sore backs. And I'm humbled by your bravery. For a couple days, I was a mess. And I'm still not 100%, though, somewhere in the high 90s, I think. I told someone that I hurt my back, and his response was, "Oh, you got the old man's back." One moment you're fine, and the next moment you're curled up with pain, and you didn't do anything. Well, maybe, except I'm not old yet. Of course, I did feel like I gained a year during that week of my back being hurt. And the way it got better was interesting. After a week of just not feeling very well, we went to celebrate the Martin Luther King Jr. Sabbat at the temple. And before the temple, we were invited to Fred Gutman's house for dinner. So it was a long evening. And I popped my pills so that I would be able to do this. But it's a long dinner. It was a long worship service. And somewhere in the second hour of worship, I began to think, I can't do this anymore. And so I stood up and went to the back and did that old man back shuffle that you probably recognized to try to get a handle on what was going on. And as we approached the third hour of worship, I went back to sit down with Julie, and she said, "You know, I think we could leave early." Yes, thank you. That was a joke. And I said, "No, I think I'll make it. I think I'll be all right." And sat down, and then immediately, as happens in these very long worship services, the clergy were invited to come to the stage and stand up there, and we had to hold hands or arm in arm around each other, and we participated in singing song after song after song after song. And at least I could sway, and my back was all right. So after two benedictions, one in English and one in Hebrew, service was over, and we shook hands and congratulated one another for being clergy. And the rabbi's wife brought up a basket covered with a cloth, and opened up the basket, and she said, "Here's some warm challah in honor of Shabbat." have a piece of bread. Well, I did. And after a little more talking, we left the service and went to get in the car. And I realized my back didn't hurt very much any longer. Now, maybe it was the Jewish communion, the challah. Maybe it was the fourth pill that I took to get through things. Maybe it was standing on the chancel, holding hands and arm in arm with other clergy. Or maybe it was attending the temple. I'm not sure. I don't know. But I felt better that evening and the next day, and I gave God thanks. Now, I don't mean to minimize the pain that so many of us can find ourselves in, from the old person back to worn-out joints to depression that never seems to lift. My sore back or sore neck was minor, and I hope a temporary condition. And I know that chronic pain, it's just no joke. I wish I had the gift, but I'm not a healer. I've prayed for a lot of people, especially in hospitals, and they mostly did very well. But they had good medical care. I prayed, I have, and continue to pray for lots of people here, and you mostly do very well. But prayer should not be a medical alternative. We can and we will pray. But if you ask whether you should have prayer or see a doctor, I would say, do both. Let's pray, and then let's go to the doctor. I believe in the power of prayer, or one power of prayer that I think I have is to get you to pray, to act, to care. I believe the woman found healing by touching Jesus' cloak, that he felt power move out from him. I believe Jesus found the little girl at the point of death and he healed her. I believe these healings can take place even now. But I realize that we know more about medicine and medical care than people did 2,000 years ago, and that humans are complex and complicated. We need medicine. We need prayer. We need healing. We need Jesus, and we need doctors. And finally, we need to give this poor girl something to eat. That's one of my gifts, getting meals ready for others. This communion meal, which we're about to celebrate, is so cleverly thought through in theology. It began with a meal. And at the Shabbat meal, I realized and recognized again that the Jews are so much better at thinking about how holy and intimate a meal can be. The Shabbat meal is a worship service in the home with God, with their loved ones, and with friends. May our meal, this communion, be worshipful, may it feed us, and may we, by participating in this meal, worship God. This morning, as we share in the elements with you, I've asked the people helping me with communion to say one of two things. This is the body of Christ, broken for you. By God's grace, may you find healing. And this is the cup of Christ given for you. May you find health. May you find healing, and may you find health. Amen.